Herbert W. Armstrong began to deeply study the Bible in 1926. 100 years later, discover what his lifelong Bible study habit can teach you today. Next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
And if we're not close enough to God in prayer, and remember that when you pray, you talk to Him, but when you read and study your Bible, He's talking to you. Now then, if you just read over the Bible and don't understand it, that's like you open your ear to listen to someone talk, but he's talking in a language you don't understand, or you don't hear him very well, and you don't know a thing he said. What good did it do? Is God really talking to you unless you learn how to study what he says and to understand it? But I tell you, the Bible is so deep, and there is so much to it, that no matter how much you've studied and how much you understand it, there is so much in it for you yet to learn. You have no conception. Not one of you has ever studied the Bible enough. You can stop.
That's the late 20th century educator, Herbert W. Armstrong, talking about the most important relationship that there is. As he said in Mystery of the Ages, the relationship between you and your Maker. My father has talked about this relationship being our number one priority. Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to The Key of David. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Today, we're going to talk about that man you heard right there and his diligence when it came to studying God's Word. Studying, period. But once God opened his mind to the truth, back in 1926, 100 years ago this year, I mean, he put his heart into learning God's way of life. It started with a two-part challenge back in the late summer, early fall of 1926. Firstly, Herbert Armstrong's wife challenged him on the question of the seventh-day Sabbath. And initially, Mr. Armstrong thought it was religious fanaticism for her to suggest that the Bible taught the seventh-day Sabbath. He said to her, "How could all these churches be wrong?" And she said, "Well, look into the Bible, and if you prove that they're wrong, then okay." And right around the same time, he had another challenge that came from his sister-in-law, who basically said, if you don't believe in the theory of evolution, then you're just ignorant and uneducated. So here's Mr. Armstrong. Basically, his marriage and his intellect are on the line. And so what did he do? Well, he immersed himself to a virtual night and day study for 6 months. He poured his heart into it, and by the end of it, he proved his wife was right and the sister-in-law was wrong. Let's start our study over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'll just draw your attention to this incredible Bible correspondence course. There's 36 lessons. We send them out in 4 lesson batches. And if you want to learn how to study your Bible, this lesson, these lessons, 36 of them, will take you right through the Bible step by step. And you may think that that's, you know, a pretty easy process. But for so many people today who are just besieged by distractions, by screen time or whatever it is, in this very noisy and chaotic world, sitting down, shutting things off, opening your Bible, writing out scriptures, that's very unusual. A lot of people can't do it, or at least they haven't been trained to. In many ways, we've been trained to do just the opposite, to just jump at any, you know, sound or distraction that may get in the way of dedicated study. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 says, "Pray without ceasing. Be unceasingly in prayer, praying perseveringly," one commentary says. The verse in Luke 18 and verse 1, Jesus gave a parable there because he said men ought always to pray. We never want to see our prayer life discontinued. And together with that, it talks about Bible study, diligent Bible study. In this same passage, despise not prophesying, it says in verse 20, or inspired teaching. We need teachers from God. We need preachers to help us understand, but we also need to do a lot ourselves. Verse 21 says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Prove everything, and then hold on to the truth. Once you've proven the truth, then you have to guard it. You have to hold on to it. You have to be like the Bereans initially, Acts 17 and verse 11, and search the scriptures daily, but there's more to it even than just searching. Once you search for it and find it, then you put it into practice. You have to apply the instruction, the teaching, proving God's truth by using it. And Mr. Armstrong learned early on after his conversion to look for a Bible-based reason for everything, because the Bible is God's instruction manual. The Bible is Jesus Christ, the master teacher in print. And so we have to look to the master. We have to look for a Bible reason. Notice how hard Mr. Armstrong worked when it came to diligent Bible study. He said, I had studied diligently after leaving high school at age 18 and continuously up to this incident in 1926, where he would have been 34. So he even points out in his autobiography that he was a diligent studier, just not in the Bible, not until the fall of 1926. Not until after that dual challenge coming from his wife and then his sister-in-law. He says, but I was now entering on a field of research in which previous study had been minimal. He hadn't studied the Bible much. So that's why he said to his wife initially, well, how can all these churches be wrong? And then he got into the Bible. And then he looked into the Bible for himself. I began this intensified study by obtaining everything I could find in the way of books, pamphlets, and other literature, both for and against what was often called the Jewish Sabbath. I wanted not only everything I could lay hands on the case for Sunday and against the seventh-day Sabbath, I wanted also the arguments or proponents for it, which I hoped to be able to honestly refute. He went in wanting to prove his wife wrong, and it turns out she was right. And Mr. Armstrong was willing to admit that. That's hard for a lot of people to do, to confess or to admit that they've been wrong, that they've been duped, that they've been blinded. Now, this is 1926. You think about the world of 2026, a world full of fake news and lies and deception and social media, endless scrolling, people just believing whatever it is they see in a tweet or something. How can we know what the truth is? Well, it takes some diligent study. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, God did perform a miracle. It takes a miracle for us to begin to understand his truth. John 6 and verse 44, read that later. But what would God have been able to do with Herbert Armstrong if, after opening his mind to the truth, if Mr. Armstrong just, you know, dismissed it, set it aside, he started dragging his feet? He didn't do that. He poured his heart into it. 2 Timothy 2:14, it says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the eternal, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Paul, in giving instructions to his evangelist here, says, look, tell the brethren to keep focused on what's important and don't strive about words that are no profit. There were distractions and a lot of fakery and phoniness even back in Paul's day. Verse 15, the memory verse, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. That's a command. That's not a suggestion. And so this 36 lesson correspondence course, it can put you on a program, a daily program, where you're getting in your study time. You're obeying this commandment. Study, it says, to show yourself approved unto God. That's the purpose. You're trying to please God, to show yourself approved before God, not men. You can't be concerned about what men might think. And that's the attitude Mr. Armstrong had coming out of that study. He counted the cost. He realized what it would mean for his career, his colleagues, his associates. Study the right way. That's another aspect of this verse as well. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to do it the right way. A lot of people read the Bible. There's plenty of Bible scholars in this world today. But why are there so many different opinions about the Bible? So many different interpretations? People aren't studying the right way or with the right attitude. They're not childlike. Matthew 11 and verse 25. But then another word that fits in with the theme for today, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. That word, the Greek word for workman, it means to toil, to exert effort, to labor. Strong's Concordance says it means a toiler, figuratively a teacher that really works hard. And that's the way Mr. Armstrong's life or relationship with God started. He fell in love with God, so to speak. He was going to the Portland Library during that six-month night and day study, staying there sometimes until midnight or 1 a.m., or at least staying up. I forget when the library closed. But he couldn't get enough of God's truth, of proving all things. Listen to him describe what was happening back in 1926, clip two.
Now, it just happened that both evolution and this Sabbath question my wife had taken up with had a common starting point, the book of Genesis in the Bible. But I didn't begin with the book of Genesis. I began my study by getting the works of Darwin and the account of his trip around the world and the good ship Beagle and all of that. And then I got the writings of Haeckel and Huxley and modern one, Chamberlain, who was the professor emeritus in the University of Chicago, and others. I delved into what Lamarck had to say about use and disuse, which was a discarded theory and had come up before Darwin's time, and Lyell and all of the old evolutionists. And then I began some of the study in the Bible. To make a long story short, I proved before that 6 months was over that God does exist. That God is the first cause and the creator of matter and of all of us, even of spirit bodies, spirit beings called angels, of everything that is. I came to learn who and what God is, and not one religion in the world believes that or understands it. You know, that just makes me stand aghast when I think of that.
He really wanted to prove all things. And so he set out to do it. And he delved deeply into the Bible. He even was writing articles that he never thought would be published. But he did it so he could learn the subject more deeply, learn it well enough to teach it. We had a program recently. We ought to be teachers. That's what Paul said in Hebrews 5. How diligent are you in your study of God's word? One of the earliest manuscripts he wrote on a typewriter back then was what became the United States and Britain in Prophecy. 300 pages typed. And that book, back in the 1920s, that's when it started. It was mailed to 6 million households by the time Mr. Armstrong finished his ministry. He died in January of 1986. Notice 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul says about Timothy, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. It's possible for a child even to know the Scriptures. He had some remarkable women helping him, his mom, his grandmother, Timothy, I mean. But it's possible to help your child even get to know the Bible, to learn the truth of the Bible. Notice what it says about the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. All of it's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we've got to be willing to be corrected. God's word, it talks about the word being like a sword. That's in Ephesians 6. But it says in verse 17 here that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We study the Bible for correction, which is why we have to study it with a humble attitude, a childlike, teachable attitude, being willing to admit when we're wrong, where we're wrong, being willing to admit if so many of the churches are wrong, if they're not teaching the truth of the Bible. Mr. Armstrong in 1926, he was humbled by his study. It was humbling for him to admit that his wife was right. To say, yeah, I looked into the Bible and it commands the seventh day Sabbath. God, he explains in this next clip how that he had all of these details, these understandings, false knowledge, preconceived notions, ideas, thoughts. We just grow up in this world taking for granted what it is that the masses believe or teach, even when it comes to religion. This is clip 3.
Brethren, I had been stuffed with a lot of false knowledge too, up until age 34. And at age 34, I was challenged. And I began to study the Bible because I wanted to prove that what the churches all say and what had been taught me in one of the very highly accredited and responsible or highly esteemed Protestant denominations. And I began to study the Bible. And I began to see that the Bible said precisely the opposite of all those things I believed. And there it was in plain language. And here I looked at it, and it said so. Well, of course, that's the English language. And I said, well, that was written originally in the Greek language. Or in the Old Testament, that was written originally in the Hebrew language. And so I looked up the Greek and the Hebrew. And I found that God says, and I went on and studied, and I proved this is the Word of God. This Bible is God speaking to you in print and speaking to me.
It was an exhaustive study. And just the beginning of this spiritual love affair, it wasn't easy at the start. In the autobiography, he says, but do not suppose I quickly or easily came to admit my wife had been right or to accept the seventh-day Sabbath as the truth of the Bible. I spent a solid 6 months of virtual night and day, 7 day a week study and research in a determined effort to find just the opposite. It wasn't easy to change his attitude. He said to accept this truth meant, so I supposed, to cut me off from all former friends, acquaintances, and business associates. I had come to meet some of the independent Sabbath keepers down around Salem and the Willamette Valley. This was in western Oregon. That's where the beginning of the Philadelphia era started. We did a program on location, I think it was last week, and went through that infinitesimal start of God's church in the 1920s, 1930s. It says in Malachi 2, notice this section, that just looking at the Word of God being quick and like a powerful, sharp sword. I mentioned Ephesians 6, Hebrews 4 and verse 12 is another one you can look at as well. We'll talk more in a later program about the attitude change. That's part of this important history as well. Today, I just want to focus more on the willingness to study diligently, to go after God's truth. As I say, this Bible correspondence course will really help to guide you. We need guidance. The Bible itself, I just read it to you in 2 Timothy 3. It's profitable. All scripture, it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, instruction, correction. Malachi 2:4, it says, and you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant, it says, might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. That covenant of Levi, it's covered in this book, chapter 6 of the God Family Vision. We haven't advertised this in quite a while. But if you want to dig into some of the verses we'll just touch on here at the end of today's show, make sure you call our operators and request your free copy of the God Family Vision and learn about this covenant with Levi. Malachi's Message, another book we've produced, my father wrote this. He says, who is the spiritual father of the ministers today? It says, Mr. Armstrong said repeatedly that spiritually he was the father of us all, either directly or indirectly. And he cites 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, where Paul referred to himself in a fatherly role. Levi was a father to the ministry. Herbert Armstrong was like a father to those of us that came along in the Philadelphia era of God's church. Notice what it says about this Levi type. It's got a latter-day fulfillment. Verse 6 says, the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity or sin. And then it says about the ministry, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, or protect it, preserve it, hold on to it, hold fast that which is good. And they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Look at how highly God speaks of this end-time Levi type. Who is Herbert Armstrong? The law of truth was in his mouth. He knew the law. It was on the tip of his tongue. It was in his heart. It was in his mind. And you can see why when you look at the course of his life in God's church and the way it all started and how he approached his Bible study and how he just poured his heart into that relationship with God. As he says in Mystery of the Ages, it's the most important relationship there is. It's the one relationship that makes all the other relationships work. So when you see relationships break down in your physical life, look at cause and effect. Consider your relationship with God. See what it is you're doing or not doing. Everything flows out of our relationship with God. If that relationship is not working, then our other relationships won't work either. Listen again to something Mr. Armstrong said back on his old program, The World Tomorrow, clip 4.
If the Bible seems dry and dull and you just kind of hate to read it, but you do it as a duty once in a while, you're not spiritual. If your mind is spiritual, and if you have a spiritual mind, if you're a spiritual person, you love the Word of God above everything else. And the one thing you'd rather do, at least next to praying or equal with it, is to get your Bible and really study it. And you're so interested in the truths that you're drinking out of it and the knowledge that you're finding and the truth that you're getting, and it's such a blessing to you and it's such happiness and you get such joy out of it and then in following it and doing it that you can't wait to get that Bible and get away from other dreary things in this world and get to your Bible and really study your Bible. And when you forsake the things of this world and the ways of this world and you're living the way of God under the authority of God and by every word of God and you just love to study the Bible and you just love to pray.
Strong words, encouraging words. You see in that clip a love for God and God's truth. And he's right. And that was a long time ago, that clip, probably from the 1960s. He talked about how dreary things are in this world. How much more so today? When you think about what young people in particular are consuming on their screens, and people reason they don't have time for the Bible. They're not interested in the Bible. He talked there about interest. You can see why God draws so much attention to Herbert Armstrong in the scriptures even. That's the kind of relationship God wants with all of us, the one just like the one he had with Herbert Armstrong. In Malachi's Message, My father says when Malachi delivered his message, Levi was dead. So it is today. This message is mainly for God's church after Mr. Armstrong's death. God's trying to get our attention, and he's trying to give us help and assistance by pointing us to an example. Look at the way he did it. Look at the way he studied. Look at how much he loved the truth. Anyone who knew Mr. Armstrong knows he would not tolerate priests who caused people to stumble at the law. It says now God wants to see if his other ministers have the same zeal. He wants to see if we fear God the way that Mr. Armstrong did. This next clip, it's a couple of clips that we joined together. Clip 5.
The very first business of your life, ahead of everything else, ought to be the study of your Bible, to come to really understand the Bible, especially its prophecies.
And Christ's gospel is not a message about Christ, it's the message Christ preached. It's the message of the Bible. And Jesus is the living word of God, and the Bible is the written word of God, and it means the whole Bible. You have to understand the whole Bible. Are you studying the Bible every day? If you're not studying the Bible every day, you're not going to get into the kingdom of God.
Yes, indeed. It's a command, as I read earlier, from 2 Timothy 2:15. Study. Pray. Draw near to God. If you want to dig into that covenant with Levi, make sure that you request a free copy of the God Family Vision. And if you haven't enrolled in the Armstrong College, it's named after Herbert Armstrong. The example we're looking at here today, if you're not a student yet, make sure you request the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. It's a course that helps you learn how to study the Bible, learn how to study the Word of God. We've also got our monthly magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet, if you haven't subscribed to that one yet as well. Lots of literature to put your attention on, but request it. There's no cost, no obligation. The only request is that you dig in and really go after God's truth. That's all we have time for on this week's episode. We thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. To learn how to enroll in the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, visit www.keyofdavid.com.